Good morning, everybody. Let's begin by turning to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 5, verse 18. And Jared lived 165 years and became the father of Enoch. As Jude records, Enoch was the seventh from Adam. And Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. It reminds me of what little ones have said over the years in Lorraine Avenue classes and Bible drills. God just reached down and pulled him up, one little girl said. Another little boy said, Enoch walked and walked and just kept on walking right into heaven. It's amazing how young ones can put things in perspective. We don't know how God did it. We're not given the details. But what we do know is key to our lesson this morning. God considered Enoch a righteous man. Why? Because he walked with God by faith. You've seen it, haven't you? People try to walk with God without the kind of faith he requires. They want a righteous relationship with him. They want to be in fellowship with him. With little faith, with weak faith, with receding faith, that will never happen. That's way far from God's nature and character. There's no chance of fellowship with him under such conditions. God has very high standards. God counted Enoch as being righteous because he walked with God by faith. We read in Psalm 101, verse 2, this is David praising the Lord, I will behave myself in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. God counted Enoch as being righteous because he walked with God by faith. The kind of faith that embraces God and everything he stands for. The kind of faith that compels you to trust in God, hungering to love and serve him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The kind of faith that desires an entire life with God, a walk with God. Like our hymn says, Lord, I lay my life at thy feet. That was Enoch's faith. And as a reward, God took Enoch from this life to the next, sparing him the experience of death. Hebrews 11:5 tells us, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had obtained the testimony that he was pleasing to God. Enoch pleased God because he walked with God. He walked by faith. And Enoch could not have been pleasing to God unless God was willing to count him as a righteous man. And so our lesson this morning is titled, The Walk of Faith. What is a walk anyway? Well, to state the obvious, it's more than just a few steps or a single step. Many believe they are walking with God when all they are doing is taking two or three steps with him. A walk is a lifetime. To walk with God means to spend a lifetime with him. It means spending your life in fellowship with him. Think of that. It means spending your life in fellowship with God. It means entering into and remaining in a righteous relationship with him. It means seeking to know and fulfilling his every desire for you. It means living your entire life with him by faith. By his grace, God invites us to be in fellowship with him. Not only us today, he has invited everyone. Everyone, from the fall of Adam in the garden to the return of Christ, everyone to be in fellowship with him. That's his gift to us, his grace. It's God's desire that all will accept it. The invitation to walk with him is unconditional. It's there. The invitation is right there, period. But acceptance of the invitation, that is conditional. Acceptance of God's invitation to be in fellowship with him, to be in a righteous relationship with him, has certain conditions. God's invitation to walk with him by faith has conditions. Think about it. Would anyone in their right mind expect God to say, "Come to me in fellowship, and it's okay to do it your way"? Or, "You can pick and choose off my list of conditions like it's a menu in a restaurant"? Would God say that? No. Now let's bring Noah into consideration. Genesis 6, 8 through 9 tells us that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and that he was a righteous man who walked blameless amidst his own generation. Enoch just didn't happen to be walking with God. Noah didn't just happen to be walking with God. Notice a couple of things, and I'm sure there's more you can think of. First, the scripture says that Enoch walked with God from the time his son Methuselah was born. What happened with Enoch at the age of 65 to bring him into the fellowship with God? Was it parenthood? A walk that lasted the rest of his life, 300 years. And second, Noah and his family walked with God. Noah was pleasing God amidst an unholy and wicked population. How did Noah keep himself clean? For one, Noah's great-grandfather was faithful Enoch. Enoch was Noah's great-grandfather. Only 8 souls were saved. Only Noah's family. Enoch couldn't have had fellowship with God without straightening out his life at age 65. Noah couldn't have had fellowship with God without keeping himself unspotted from his own generation. Let's learn more about these two men who walked with God from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11:5 says, we already peeked at this verse, "By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death, because he was pleasing to God." Hebrews 11:7, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence," in godly fear, one translation says, "prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world." The rest of this verse says that Noah became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. This is important. Just as Enoch received the reward of being taken up by God, Noah was saved from destruction. Noah trusted in God's promise of deliverance from the great flood, walking accordingly. And because this pleased God, he counted Noah as righteous, making good on his promise. Noah received his inheritance. Both of these men walked with God by faith, on faith. They believed God. They trusted him. They accepted his offer to walk with him on his conditions. Accepting God's invitation to walk with him is a choice. These two men accepted, adjusting their lives to be in harmony with God. As a prophet, foretelling of God's judgment on the wicked, as Jude 14 through 16 tells us, God must have inspired Enoch and instructed him. Also remember, there was great overlap in the generations of these early fathers. Adam lived to see Lamech born, Noah's father. Imagine that. Godly traditions were passed down generation to generation. Men knew what God wanted. They knew. Enoch knew God's will and his promises. Enoch believed and trusted God, and he chose to walk with God. God told Noah about the coming flood. He gave Noah specifications for the ark. He instructed Noah in regards to bringing the animals into the ark. Noah was clear on God's promise to protect his family while destroying the world. And what was Noah's response to all this? Concerning a future event that must have been inconceivable in Noah's experience? Genesis 6:22. Thus Noah did, according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. Noah knew God's will and his promises. Noah believed and trusted God and chose to walk with him. Both Enoch and Noah were offered fellowship with God. They met the conditions of acceptance, faith, obedience motivated by faith, and trusting God's promises, walking with him and living your life in faith. What was their reward for walking with God by faith? God took Enoch and spared him death. God saved Noah and his family while destroying the entire rest of the world. If we go back to the very beginning of Hebrews 11, there's a beautiful verse there, a very important verse. The whole chapter talks about faith, and why wouldn't it make sense for God to begin by defining faith? So Hebrews 11:1 defines faith for us. It is being assured of things hoped for. It's being assured of the fulfillment of God's promises. It's that assurance. And it is being certain of things that we do not see. Assurance of the things hoped for and being certain of things we cannot yet see. May never see. Think of that hymn we sing, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." Can't we see that Enoch and Noah were assured that the promises God made to them would be fulfilled, and that they were certain that things as yet unseen would come to be? Can't we see that? They walked by faith. It's as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We live our lives in fellowship with God by faith. Now, what does the very next verse of Hebrews 11 say? Hebrews 11:2. The author says, "For it," the inspired author, "for by it," for by faith, "the men of old gained God's approval." Sometimes we take these verses one at a time out of context, but let's put together the story this morning. We learned what faith is, and now the author says, by that, by being assured of the things they hoped for, the promises, and being certain of things that they couldn't see, the men of old gained God's approval. Enoch and Noah both pleased God. Their belief and trust in his words, his conditions, his laws and promises compelled them to act in a way that allowed true fellowship with him. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him." Now, this is a verse we talk about all the time, usually by itself, out of context. But let's put it in context this morning. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Did Enoch and Noah both believe that God exists, the great I am? Yes. Did they both trust that God could and would reward those who choose to walk with him? Did they trust that? Yes. Did they have faith? Yes. Were they pleasing to God because of this? Yes. We haven't yet mentioned the faith of Abraham. We need to bring Abraham now into our conversation. Genesis 48:15 tells us that Abraham, as well as his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob, all walked with God. In Genesis 17:1, "Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless.'" And he did. Hebrews 11:8 through 10. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11:17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, and we might add, through whom the promises were going to come to pass. Do you think that Abraham truly believed that God is the great I am? Do you think that Abraham believed God to be a faithful rewarder of those that diligently seek to walk with him, of those who earnestly desire to be in fellowship with him? Do you think that Abraham was assured that the things God promised would come to pass? Do you think that Abraham was certain of the unseen things he would someday see in his lifetime, and just as certain of the reward he would only see beyond the grave in the next life? Don't you think that? Yes. When Abraham trusted God and followed him to a new country, when Abraham trusted God and sacrificed Isaac, Abraham was walking with God by faith. This fellowship pleased God, and God counted Abraham as righteous. Genesis 15:6. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and the Lord accounted it to him as righteousness. Paul in Romans 4:20-22 says, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Think about the hymn we sing. It's the grandest scheme. He is able to deliver thee. Romans 4:18 says that contrary to hope, in hope, Abraham believed. You might have to think about that one a little bit. This is the same thing as saying Abraham confidently hoped for something that the human mind could never conceive of nor dream of hoping for. Beyond all hope, Abraham hoped and believed and was assured and was certain. Abraham's walk with God pleased God, and God considered him to be righteous. Now notice this. No one can be in sin and be considered righteous by God. Abraham chose to be in fellowship with God by faith. Abraham walked with God, he pleased God, and so God considered him to be righteous. Here is the grace of God, the free gift we've been studying. God's invitation to a relationship is extended as a gift by grace. Abraham chose to believe, he chose to trust, he chose to obey. He met all of God's conditions of acceptance. Abraham was not considered righteous because he was sinless. Don't think that for a minute. No one is. Nor was Enoch or Noah. They weren't considered righteous because they were sinless. They were considered righteous because they pleased God. Understand now, Enoch and Abraham and Noah, they were required to live moral lives. They were required to pray. They were required to honor God and offer sacrifices to him for sin. Many things that God has always told man to do. Maybe things differed from generation to generation. I mean, dispensation to dispensation. But God has always told people how to be moral, how to live their lives, how to pray to him, how to talk to him, how to learn from him, how to offer sacrifices. Enoch and Noah and Abraham did this. They were not sinless. They did these things. But these duties alone did not render them righteous. Their walk of faith, which also included these obligations, accomplished that. Their walk of faith, plus those, accomplished the goal of them being considered righteous by God. We're going to bring this phase of our lesson to a close for today. It's a multiple part lesson, at least two parts, maybe three. We're going to pick up next week carrying this foundation of the walk of faith into our Christian lives, in our fellowship with God in Christ, in the blessed light of the gospel. We'll look at how we are deemed righteous in God's sight in the Christian dispensation by walking by faith in the light of the gospel, having fellowship with God and Christ and one with another. And then we're going to talk about how faith is not just believing in Christ at the beginning when you are baptized into Christ, it's a continuing faith. It's a continuing walk of faith that we continue to do things by faith as we serve Him. You think about the Epistle of James. It was the first epistle chronologically written to the new church, letting people know that just becoming a Christian wasn't the end of their walk with God. It was the beginning of their walk with God. And we'll take our lesson into that. It may seem that I've overstressed being pleasing to God, yet this is our goal. Only those who please Him in their ongoing walk with Him are counted as righteous. We'll close this lesson with the invitation of Christ, as we do every Lord's Day, every lesson. It's the invitation to walk with Christ. If you have not begun your walk with Christ, with God, then it's time to do so. It's an invitation to be saved from sin. It's an invitation to have the blood of Christ continue to wash away your sins as you walk the walk of God, walk the walk of Christ in the fellowship with God, in the fellowship with Christ, in the light of the gospel. Our souls and hope hinge on this acceptance. If you have not called upon the name of the Lord in baptism, won't you repent and be baptized and rise up to walk in newness of life, your sins forgiven? If you are a Christian and have stopped calling upon the name of the Lord, falling back into the world, won't you repent and pray to God for forgiveness? If you have not begun your walk, won't you begin your walk by being baptized into Christ, into fellowship with Him and the Father? And if you are a Christian and you've stopped walking, won't you start walking again? Repent and pray to God for forgiveness. John tells us that in 1 John, that God is faithful to forgive us as Christians when we turn from our sins and confess them and pray. The hope of eternal life is incredible, beyond all measure. Paul says, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. That's the close of our lesson for today, and I thank you kindly for your attention. Thank you very much.